The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen. Daf Chav Dalet. Today's daf is being studied the Eidu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechenu Began Eiden Amen. Today's daf is being studied Rifuat Shelema Eliyahu Chaim ben Shafia Sofia. Enna Refana Lo, Enna Refana Lo, Enna Refana Lo. Rifuat HaNefesh, Rifuat HaGuf, Rifuat Tokel Omar, Rabo V'chen Yerasom V'Nomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalet at the top line. The Gemara begins. Kama haya gavoa ul'an haya note. So we go back to the statement of the Mishnah where they interrogated the witnesses and asked them different sorts of questions. For example, how high did the moon look? And where was the crescent facing towards? So now the Gemara begins. Tana hada. We have one statement. Braita. Lisfona, if the witnesses come along and say that the moon was to the north of the sun, devarav kayamim. So we accept that testimony. Lidroma lo amar kelum. But if they said that the moon is to the south of the sun, lo amar kelum, they didn't say anything. Vehatanya ibcha. We have a bride that says the exact opposite. Lidroma devarav kayamim. That if the moon is to the south of the sun, then his testimony is accepted. Lisfona lo amar kelum. But if it's the north, we don't accept. So make up your mind. What is considered the valid testimony? We have two braitot that are saying virtually the opposite. That one says if it's to the north, the testimony is accepted. And one says no, if it's to the south, the testimony is accepted. So the Gemara answers, Nakashya. Kan bimot tahama, kan bimot hageshamim. It depends what time of year the witnesses are testifying, which means basically sometimes during the year the moon is to the north of the sun, and sometimes in the year the moon is to the south of the sun. What does it depend on? Depends on the season, and therefore each braita can be correct. Well, let's just read this slashi over here, which will give us a basic understanding of how this works. Now this slashi is actually a summary of a subject that we studied in Erubin. Let's read the Rashi. Kan bimot tahama kam bimot geshem. Bimot tahama kegon biyom aroch shel tekufat tamuz. Which means, Rashi is going to teach us now that the cycle of the sun in the longest day of the year, for example, in tekufat tamuz, that would be the long summer day. So in that case over there, Hama shoka'at lesof ma'arav lesad safon. What happens is, in that case, the sun begins its rise in the east, and it starts from the northeast, goes all the way across the east, comes down around the south, and then on the western horizon goes all the way across, and it sets in the northwest. It will be the longest day where it's traveling all the complete three sides. At night, it goes under the kippah, goes under the earth, and travels up the south side, and then comes up again on the northeastern side, and every day it moves a little south. So on the longest day, it rises in the northeast, and then the next day it rises a little to the south, a little more, and so when it sets also, it sets a little to the south until you get to the Tikufat Tishri, So you get to the days of Tishri, which are basically equal days, 12 hours and 12 hours, where the sun is directly in the middle of the east, which means it rises in the middle of the east, goes down, and sets in the middle of the west. That happens twice a year, in Tishri and Nisan, where it's middle of the east rising and setting in the middle of the west. And then every day after Tishri, it goes more south. Okay, until you get to the short winter days, which mean Tikufat Tevet, where the moon rises basically in the southeast and travels to the southwest and does not travel at all to the side of the west, which means it gets to the beginning of the west in the south, and then it just goes under the kippah. Then it travels by night three sides, the entire west, the entire north, and then the entire east, until it rises the next morning again on the southeast side, and then goes, you know, just those are short days. Okay, so that's the way the cycle of the sun works. It goes all the way from the longer days, starting from the northeast, all the way to the shortest days, that starts rising in the southeast. So that she just speaks that out. With that introduction, that she goes good. Kedetanya be'arubin. Hama yotzet biyom aruch, v'shoka'at biyom aruch, ze penes safon. That's called penes safon. Hama yotzet, which because the sun is in the northern east most corner. Hama yotzet biyom katzer, v'shoka'at biyom katzer, ze penes darom. That's when the sun rises in the southern eastern corner. Nisan b'tishri, those are the days, the months where the days are equal. Hamay yotzet b'chasi mizrach v'shokachat b'chasi ma'arav. So the sun rises in the middle of the eastern horizon and goes straight down and sets in the middle of the west. Now, tekufat Nisan, hayom v'alayla shavin. Hamay yotzet b'chasi mizrach u'me'alechet. Hasi Mizrach, it travels half the Mizrach, v'chol darom, the whole southern side, v'hasi ma'arav, and half the ma'arav, v'shoka'at, and it goes down. U'balayla, sovevet le'ma'ala min ha'kipah, it goes under the kippah. Now, hasi min ha'ma'arav, travels under half the ma'arav, right, towards the north, v'chol safon, then the whole northern side, v'hasi Mizrach, and half of the Mizrach. וזורחת ולמחורת התחיל היום להיות זורח מעט מכנגד חסי מזרח לסעד ספון. She is now the days, let's say in תקופת תשרי, right? The days now start getting, or תקופת ניסן, the days start getting longer. So therefore, the sun now sets a drop towards the north. The next day, a little more towards the north, rises a little more towards the north, and the days get longer. V'shokeh l'halan ma'atzi ma'arav l'sad safon. V'chein, kol yom v'yom nushikat me'at ben bizriha b'mishki'a. U'shimageh yom t'kufat tamuz, by the time you get to the summer, which is the longest days, he zorahat bekerim bizrihi tzafonit. It rises in the north, east, u'me'alechit gimel ruchot. It travels full three sides, the whole east, the whole south, and the whole west, till it sets in the north, west. V'shokach bekerim tzafonit ma'arabit. It was northwest. And then it goes reverse. Then from the longest day, in Tikufat Tammuz, the days start getting shorter. So that means every day now, the sun will rise a little more towards the south, and set a little more towards the south, till it gets back to the center. That'll be again Tishri. And then Tikufat Tishri, yotzet b'chasi mizrach, v'shokaat b'chasi ma'arav. V'ayom v'alayla shavim. But so that's the basic cycle of the sun. Ve'od moshechet ve'olechet v'sadarom. And again, every day after Tekufat Tishri starts rising a little more towards the south. At Tekufat Tevet, until you get to the winter, which is the shortest day. Ve'oto ayom yotzeit bekerem mizrachit deromit. Then it rises on the southeastern corner. Ve'shokah bekerem deromit ma'arabit. It only travels in the day on the southern side, and it sets in the southwest, and by night it travels three sides. Okay? ומשם ואילך נמשיך לאחוריה לסד צפון, לזריחתה, מרבה הילוכה לסד צפון מעט, ושוקעת, and it goes back to the north. So that's basically the sun cycle. It goes from one corner in the west to the middle, and it goes to the other corner in the west, and then goes back to the middle, and then back to the north. It was constantly long days, middle days, short days. V'chen tamid at tekufat Nisan. Back to Nisan again. She yotzet b'chasi mizrach v'shoka'at b'chasi ma'arav. Nimset b'imot tahama me'alechet rov ruach ma'arabit. Here's the key. Comes out b'imot tahama in the summer me'alechet rov ruach ma'arabit lefne shekiata. Before it sets, it's traveling in the summer with the majority of the western side. She's on the sun, it's arcing, right? And now it's on the western. So it travels by day, the majority of the west, before it sets. Upa'amim kula. Right? In the longest days, it'll actually travel all the west till it sets in the northwest. V'chol yomot geshamim, ena me'alichet ela me'at, or ela mi'ut ma'arav. In the winter, when the sun is coming down, it doesn't travel only a little of the ma'arav. Right, the western side, because it travels, it sets at the southwest corner or a little into the west. And only enters it a little. Okay, that's the review of Masechet Eruvin in the cycle of the sun. What does this mean to us over here? Rashi, this is actually where Rashi starts to explain the Gemara over here. Ve'alibana le'olam b'chidusha. Bekerin ma'arabit deromit. Rashi is giving us a fact over here. All the Farsim here take Rashi to task what he means over here. But Rashi says that the new moon always is in the south west. That's where it sets, in the southwest. Okay? Hilkach, bimot geshamim in the winter, she'en hama nechneset la'ma'arab ela b'shki'ata. Halibana kodemet letoch ha-ma'arav nimset lebana besafon. Which means, in this case over here, which is the bimot ha-geshamim, that the sun really does not, the sun sets in the beginning of the west, doesn't travel by the western side. So the moon would be to the north, because the moon is trailing. Oh, the moon is trailing the sun over here, but the moon is going to be to the north of the sun when it is setting. That's the fact. Where in the summer, where it travels the ma'arav a lot during the day, he kodemet halibana berov hachodashim letzad safon. So in the winter, I'm sorry, in the summer, the sun is going to be to the south. If you want to just see a picture of what is being said over here, I have this in the sefer over here. It gives a little picture. Yeah. So you see it. Here you see the Mizrach. Okay? Here's the sun in the winter. You see it setting in the southwest. Right? So the moon, in that case over there, is going to be to the north, as you see. Uh-huh. This is the north, right? So you see the moon basically is crescent facing away from the sun. That's what we learned on yesterday's daf. And it's tilted to the north. Whereas in the summer, where the moon is sun is setting in the in the northwest corner, so there the moon is trailing it behind. It's going to be in the Darom. It's going to be on the south side. So basically, that's what the Gemara means. What the Gemara says, that one time the Braita said, L'sfona devarav kayamim. When are we going to say L'sfona devarav kayamim? That's talking about in the winter. And when the second Braita said, L'droma devarav kayamim, that's going to be during the summer. So therefore, that's how we answer the two Braitot. Basically, when we're interrogating the witnesses, we ask them the position of the moon in relation to the sun. Where was it? So sometimes he's going to say it was to the north. I'm okay, good. Accept you. Sometimes he's going to say to the north. We throw him out. What is all depending on? Depends on this cycle of the way the sun sets, the way the moon sets as well during the time of the new moon. And therefore, sometimes it's to the north, sometimes it is to the south. In the winter, it's to the north, and in the summer, it is to the south. In the position of the moon towards the sun. Right. That's the way the Mefarshim are explaining over here. Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ehad omer gavawa bet mardaot. That was how high the moon looked. They asked him, how high does it look from where you're standing? Mm-hmm. So one of the witnesses, bet mardaot. Mardaot, the way they explain it, is either the size of a saddle or a goad. The goad is like a stick. The stick that they have to push the animals. Okay? That pokes the animal, actually. Yeah. Yeah, they put it on the side as a point, right? And the animal turns and it gets poked. So it's a long stick. Yeah. So one says it's like the size of two mardaot above him. The hadomet gimal. And one said, no, it looks more like three. Yeah, they're disguising how high the moon looks. So if one witness says two, mardaot above, and one says three, edutan kayemet. He accepted. Because a person can make a mistake between two and three. Now, you're not so precise, but the witnesses are accepted. However, ehadomet gimal, ehadomet hamisha, edutan betela. Which means we don't accept such testimony, because to make a mistake between two mardaot in size and height, we don't accept. Now, the Gemara could have said between two and four. Just gave the example between three and five as well. Point is, the witnesses don't make a mistake. Aval mistarfin le'edut acheret. But the point is, you throw out the witnesses, meaning to testify together when they say three and five. But each one is still kosher. If another witness will come along and say three, you can take the three witnesses and pair them up with them. Or another witness comes and says even four, you can pair them up with either one, because they're still within one mardaat of mistake. Okay? That's that one. Taru Rabbanan. Next case. Ra'inuhu b'mayim. And the witnesses come along and say, we saw the reflection of the moon in the water. They didn't see it in the sky. They saw it in the water. Ra'inuhu ba'ashashit. We saw it in the lantern. Right? Through the glass, let's say, of the lantern. Ra'inuhu ba'avim. Or we saw it in the clouds. En mi'idin alaf. That is not considered testimony. Hetsyo b'mayim. We saw half the moon in the water. Hetsyo ba'avim. Half of it in the clouds. Hetsyo ba'ashashit. Half in the lantern. En mi'idin alaf. You don't testify, not a testimony as well. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hashta kulo amart lo. Hetsyo b'ba'ya. You told me if you saw the whole moon in the water, in the reflection, it's not good. Because again, half the moon in the water, of course it's no good. He saw half the crescent of the moon in the water. Yeah, half of the whole moon he saw in the water. You just told me if you saw the whole moon in the water, doesn't count. You have to tell me half? No, but that's no. Elachi kamar. Hetsyo b'mayim, hetsyo b'rakia. He saw half of the reflection in the water, and then the other half he saw in the sky. That's what it means. So the hadush in the second case is, even though he's seeing half of it in the actual sky, but not seeing the whole thing. Hetsyo b'avim, hetsyo barakia. Hetsyo ba'ashashit, hetsyo barakia. In mi'idin. That's the title. You don't testify, you gotta see the whole moon in the sky. You can't say, well, I saw, you know, half the crescent, I saw the reflection in the water, and then I looked in the sky, I saw the other half. No good. And that's the title in the second case. That even though part of the moon he saw in the sky, since the other half of it he saw in a reflection, not a testimony. Taru banan. We have a braita. Ra'inu. We saw the moon. Veshuv lo ra'inuhu. And then we didn't see it again. Now, what does this mean over here? En mi'idin alav. Which means what happened is the guy was walking and he saw the moon. But he really wasn't having a kavanah to testify when he saw it. He saw the moon. He was walking. He saw it. Nice. Now, all of a sudden, now he wanted to have kavanah to testify now. So he looked back up. Nothing. He didn't see it of it. So he says, en mi'idin alaf. We don't accept such a guy's testimony. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case here? Kol ache hazula ve'azle. Does he have to see it the whole time? How long does he have to see it for? Which means, I saw the moon and then I didn't see it again. Well, how long does he have to stare at the moon for the whole time? He saw the moon once. For a testimony, don't you need only a sighting? So the guy goes, I saw that it wasn't visible anymore. Okay, it's like, well, as long as you saw it the first second, that's a testimony. What do you mean? We saw it and we didn't see it, and the Gemara says, we don't accept. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Hakikamar, Ra'inuhu Me'elenu. Like I explained. We saw it Be'eneinu, which means by chance. I mean, we weren't having Kavanah. We were walking, we sighted the moon, but we didn't have Kavanah really to testify the first time. V'shavnu lir'oto midatenu. Then we, you know what? We can be a witness over here. So we went back to look. Midat. V'lo ra'inu. En me'idin alav. Now again, why not? Bottom line, he did see it the first time, even though he wasn't having Kavanah to testify. So the Gemara says, my Tama. Imur kovita de'iba be'al mahu de'hazeh. He must have seen the crescent of a white cloud. Yep. And really, maybe it wasn't the moon. Because the first time he wasn't having Kavanah to see the moon. It's time he saw something. Then he said, I looked back up, it wasn't there. So what's the difference? He saw it the first time. What he saw the first time maybe was a white cloud that was in the shape of the crescent of the moon, and the proof is because when he looked back, nothing was there. So therefore, we don't accept such a testimony. Comes the next Mishnah. Rosh Bedin Omer Mekudash. Now, once the witnesses are accepted, the head of the Bet Din has to say Mekudash, meaning the month is sanctified. V'chol ha'am onim aharav. And everybody answers, Mekudash, Mekudash. Now we're going to discuss a mahloket, exactly when Beit Din has to actually sanctify. So the first opinion is, Ben shenir'eh bizmano, ben shelo nir'eh bizmano, mekadashin oto. This is the first of four shitot. Tanakama's opinion is, Beit Din always has to make Kiddush HaChodesh. Whether the moon was seen in its time, that means on the 30th day, that's called Bizmano. Ben Shlonar Abizmano. Or whether the moon wasn't sighted until the 31st, always Beit Din has to say Mekudash. I mean, the months cannot become sanctified until Beit Din says Mekudash, and the people have to answer Mekudash, Mekudash. Okay? Ben Shlonar Abizmano, Ben Shlonar Abizmano. That's Tarakama's opinion. That's Shita number one. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok Omer, Imlonar Abizmano, En Mekadashin Oto Shekebar Kechu Shamayim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok says, listen. If the witnesses don't come on the 30th, then already the 31st is an automatic. So therefore, you don't have to say Mikudash on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, which means on the 31st day if it's a Maleh, because already in Shamayim they sanctified it. We need Beit Din for the early one, for the 30. But if the 30 doesn't happen, so then it's there's no 32. So what about the 31? So he holds Mikudash is only said on a Haseh, not on a Maleh. Those are two of the four shittot, and we have them in the Mishnah. Either you do it on both days, or only on the Bismano, not on the Shiloh Bismano, on the 3rd out of the 31st. Good? Comes the Gemara says, Rosh Beit Din. Now we got to go one thing at a time. First we said the Rosh Beit Din is the one that has to say Mekudash, the head of the Beit Din. Menah Nemile, how do you know that? Amar b'chaya b'r'gamda, Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi Amar Kera, Vaydaber Moshe et Mu'adeh Hashem. And Moshe spoke out the holidays, the Mu'adim. Mikan Rosh Beit Din Omer Mekudash. Who's Moshe? At Beit Din. And then by the Ber Moshe at Mu'adeh Hashem. He spoke out. When did he speak out? Meaning he had to sanctify the months in order to make the holidays. V'chol ha'am onim acharav Mekudash Mekudash. Now the people have to answer. Minalan, how do you know the people have to answer? Amar Papa Amar Kera, Asher Tikru Otam. Karibe Atem. If you look in the Torah, it says, Ele Mu'adeh Hashem, Asher Tikru Otam, but the Otam is written without a Vav, so you can read it, Atem, which means you have to call it, Atem. So therefore you learn the people have to say also, Mekudash. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Amar, Ele Hem Mu'adai. Hem Yomru Mu'adai. Which means they will say by Mu'adim. How? By sanctifying. Now, Mekudash, Mekudash, Trezim Ne Lamali. Now, why do the people have to say Mekudash twice? Mekudash, Mekudash. Dichtiv Mekra'e Kodesh. The callings of Kodesh. Mekra'e is plural. And therefore we learn that they have to sanctify it twice. Mekudash, Mekudash. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadok Omer Im Lo Nir'eh Bizmano Em Mekadashin Oto. Tanya, we have a braita. Flimo Omer. Bizmano En Mekadashin Oto. This is a third shita. Bizmano, you don't sanctify it. On the 30th, you don't have to sanctify it. Shelo bizmano, mekadeshin oto. So it's the exact opposite. What's his logic? Bizmano, you don't need chizuk. Because we have witnesses that came along and saw the moon. So they would have to strengthen it. However, on the 31st, where it's an automatic, so in order to strengthen it, that it is Rosh Chodesh, so you need a sanctification of Beit Din. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Omer is the fourth shita. Ben kach u ben kach en mekadeshin oto. He says you never have to mekadesh the chodesh. Not on the 30th and not on the 31st. You just get the witnesses show up and it's automatic after the witnesses show up. And if they don't show up, then the 31st is again is no automatic. Shnei emar v'kadeshtim et shenat ha-hamishim. The Torah says the Beit Din is obligated to sanctify the 50th year, which is the Jubilee Yovel year, right, of the Shemitah cycle, right? Seven Shemitah cycles, the 50th year, the Kedeshtim. So the Gemara says, Shena Shanim Ata Mekadesh, Ve'i Ata Mekadesh Chodashim. Where the Torah says, Mekadeshtim, Shena Ata Hamishim. You only have to Mekadesh years, but you're not Mekadesh months. And therefore this Shita holds, you're not Mekadesh. No, the Beit Din never has to say Mekadesh. So because that we have four opinions and exactly which days, either both days, like Tanakama the Mishnah, either like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadduk of the Mishnah, that only the first day, the 30th, but not the 31st, or like Primo, that says only the 30th day and not the 31st, or like the last opinion, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, no days. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shimuel, Halakha, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadduk. The halakha follows Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadduk, that that's the author, that's the one of the Mishnah, that says you only mekadesh the first day and not the second day. Amar Abaye, Af Anan Ametarina. Actually, we have a braita to support this. Ra'uhu Beit Din Vechol Yisrael. Now let's say Beit Din saw the moon. And call Israel, all the Jewish people. It was obvious they saw the moon on the 30th. Nechkiru aidim, so they interrogated the witnesses, like the halacha says. V'lo espiku lomar mekudash ad shehashecha. But by the time they finished the interrogations, they weren't able to say mekudash until nightfall. Hare ze me'ubar. So since they didn't get to say till nightfall, it's a me'ubar month, which means it turns into a 31st. And therefore the 31st, because even though the witnesses came on 30, but by the time you finish interrogating them, getting all the information, became night. But Gemara says, Me'ubar. And the Gemara makes a diyuk. Me'ubar in. Mekudash lo. You see from the language of this statement, it says what? The month becomes Me'ubar. Not that it becomes Mekudash. Implying that what? That once you get to the 31st, you do not have to Mekadesh anymore. It's Me'ubar. It just becomes Me'ubar. You ate an extra day. It's automatic. Automatic. So that's a proof to Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Sadduk. From the fact that the statement was that the day becomes Me'ubar, if it was Mekudash, it should have said, Yom Shoshim Achat Na'aseh Areze Mekudash. No, it has to be Mekudash. It's 31 already. All it has to be is Me'ubar. So the Gemara says, no. Really, you have to make it Mekudash as well on the 31st day. No proof. Also, then why did it say Me'ubar? It should have said Mekudash. So the Gemara says, Me'ubar itzrichale. It had to say the words Me'ubar. You know why? Salka datach amina. Because I would have thought like this. Hu'il v'ra'uhu Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. Since everybody saw it on the 30th. If farsema, it becomes publicized and everybody thinks the Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 30th because everybody saw it. So I would have thought what? That the Rosh Chodesh has to be on the 30th. Velo li'abruha. And don't make me'ubar. Kamash ma'alan, you are me'abir even in this case. But what? You have to make kadesh. Which is really, you have to make kiddush on the second. I have no proof for the Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. Also, why didn't it say then, hariz mekudash? Because if it would have said hariz mekudash, I would have thought hariz mekudash me'etmol. Because since everybody saw it, it was obvious. Hariz mekudash, I would say, you know what? It's really 30th. We rely on the kiddush that they made on the 30th. I don't care if they didn't get finished interrogating until nightfall. Bottom line, it's called Klai Yisrael saw it, all the Beit Din saw it. It's obvious. We're not going to switch a day where the whole Klai Yisrael thinks it's Rosh Chodesh on the 30th. Right. So therefore, if we would have said hariz mekudash, I would have thought hariz mekudash beyom shiloshim. So therefore, I have to say hariz me'ubar to teach me chidush, you know what?
31.
For sure you're making kiddush again. You have to make kiddush again on the next day. But the kiddush that you're allowed to even go to the next day. Because you would have thought, no, Klai Yisrael saw it on the 30th, you're going to confuse them. Kamash Tualan, it is Me'ubar. But what? You have to be Mekudash also. It just couldn't have said that as a Mekudash because it would have gave you a false impression of what it means. Look at the Rashi. Me'ubar is Tariqaleh. Three lines from the bottom. מעובד צריך, כלומר, לעולם למחר בעי קידוש. Really, I'll tell you, even on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, you need Kiddush. V'hai de lo tanya, the reason why I didn't say it, v'shub de tzirika l'shmira me'ubar. Kiddush, you have to ask to tell me that, why even are able to make it me'ubar? Why? T'ilu b'smano ra'u, usalka l'adachamira lo li'abrua. I would say, since everybody saw it in the right time, don't make it imud at all. V'i tana areze mitkadesh le'machar. If it would have said areze mitkadesh, hava amina le'olam miyoma kama mitakarin al mo'adateya. I would thought that really the mo'adot are established from the day before. I would say areze mitkadesh be'etmol. Kama shma'lan, areze mi'obar, that really you can make it mi'obar. Therefore, all we're saying is, halachazak le'beza b'ri sadok. But don't bring a proof from this statement over here. You want to bring a proof that says what? Me'ubarim. Mekudash. No, no, really it is Mekudash. You have to be Kaddish on the second day as well. So why did it say Me'ubar? That is Me'ubar. To teach me that you're able to make a Me'ubar. Because you would have thought, maybe since all Klaisi is sold on the first day, it's not an option. Kamash Malan, it is an option to make it Me'ubar. But really, we would have to make it Mekudash as well. But Me'ubar is Tarikhane. Comes the next Mishnah. Matnitin. Demut. Surot lebana ayulo leRabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel had images of the moon, which means a lot of witnesses did not understand the questions that Beit Din was interrogating. The crescent, was it to the north, was it to the south, was it to the south of the sun, east of the sun? So therefore, was it wide, was it all these different questions? Sometimes we don't know what they're talking about. So he would have different images of the shapes of the moon. Was it like this, was it like this, was it like that? In order the witnesses could see a diagram, and therefore don't know what's going on. Now, betabla, he had it on the tablets, that's what they wrote it on. Ubekotel. Or on the wall, the images that he drew on the wall. Ba'aliyato, in his attic, that's where his betin was. Shebahen mar'eh et ha'edyotot. He would show the edyotot, the simpletons that come to testify, that don't really understand exactly the nature of the questions. So therefore they would look at an image, would it look like this or look like that? So they could see it, oh yeah, it was more look like that. So they become obvious. Ve'omer, ha'chazeh ra'ita or chazeh? Did it look like this or did it look like this? Okay. Comes the Gemara. Now, for the rest of the Gemara's question is, how was he able to have images of the moon? Because the problem is, it seems we have Pesukim in the Torah that say, you're not allowed to make an image of the moon. So what was the Rabban Gamliel doing over here? So the Gemara says, Umishadeh? Is this permissible? Are you allowed to have this image of the moon in your possession? Vaketi, we have a Pesuk. Lo ta'asun iti. Now the full pasuk says, "Eloi chesed veloi zav lo ta'asun lachem." Do not make lo ta'asun iti. Now, what is the word iti? Do not make with me. So the Gemara says, "Lo ta'asun kidmut shemashai." Do not make images of the servants that serve with me. Iti, with me. Who serves with God? The moon, the sun, the different bodies in the sky. Those are iti. Don't make those images. Amar Abaye, I mean, he says, no. Lo asra Torah, ela shemashin she'efshad la'asot kemotan. The Torah's only osir, the servants or the things that serve God, that you're able to replicate exactly. A sun and a moon, you can't replicate exactly. You can replicate the image of it, but not the size. Could you make the size of the sun? Of course not. Could you make the size of the moon? Of course not. The only thing that Torah is forbidding is to make replicas of things that serve God in the exact way they are formed. For example, Kedetanya, we have a braita. Lo ya'aseh adam bayit tavnit echal. Person cannot make his house a replica of the size of the Beit HaMikdash of the Echal. Now, you got what's saying, I want my foyer to be exactly the size of the Echal of the Beit HaMikdash. That's already assumed, the same measurements. Aksadra, which would be like the porch, or the front area, right, the porch really. Tavnit Ulam. He wants to make the shape of the Ulam, one of the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash. Haser, or his own haser, like his back, courtyard. Keneged azara. He wants to make it the same dimensions of the azara. Shulchan keneged shulchan. Menorah keneged menorah. All these things are because you can really duplicate. Aval, Ose shel hamisha v'shel shisha v'shel shmona. You can make a menorah with 5 sticks, 6 sticks, or 8 sticks, because the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash only had 7. So anyway, as long as it's not a duplicate of the Beit HaMikdash, it is okay. Now she says shel hamisha nerot v'shel shisha nerot. If the Rasha says over here, if you tell me hamisha, so then what do you have to shisha? Isn't that obvious? So the or shisha, what do you tell me? You know, what do you give me all these different numbers? So he says the chiddush in hamisha. You would think maybe hamisha is asur, because hamisha is more domed to the Beit HaMikdash, because you have 2 on one side, 2 on the other side, and 1 in the middle. Domed to the Beit HaMikdash, we have 3 on one side and 3 and 1 in the middle. So therefore, hamisha, you would say, is a problem, but maybe shisha, not, because it's really is not. Maybe shisha, yes, is a problem. I mean, hamisha is a problem, I would say, and shisha. I would say shisha is not a problem, because it's really not, but hamisha is a problem. Kamash ma'lan, that even hamisha, since it's not 7 sticks, is also a problem as well. Now, 8, okay, 8, because it's just one more. Shel shiv'a lo ya'ase. Okay, 7 you can't make. That's obvious because the menorah, the Beit HaMikdash is 7 sticks. Afilu shel sh'ar minim matechot. Even if you make it out of other types of metal, one of the Beit HaMikdash was made out of gold. Mm-hmm. Even if you make it out of any type of metal, this opinion holds asur. Why? Look at that she. Lefi, second line, shekha yoseh ben keshera lefnim. Hedush. A non-gold medal with 7 sticks is kasher in the Beit HaMikdash. How do you know? Kedetanya. Ve'asita menorah. Hakamim, that's a klal. Ve'asita menorah, any type of menorah. This is the Torah, the other type of menorah. That's a klal. Zahav tahor, prat. That comes to minimize. Miksha ta'aseh. Just make it out of one piece, mashma, anything. Hazar u'chlal. And therefore it's a klal, prat, klal. And therefore, ma prat meforash shel matechet, afkot shel matechet. So the way you doresh a klal prat klal is, what's the prat? Bottom line, the prat is a metal menorah. So therefore, any type of metal is going to be good. Okay, so as long as the menorah is metal, according to the shitat, because a guy makes a menorah out of tin or bronze, 7 sticks, asur. Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda omer, af shel etz lo ya'aseh. Wow, you can't even make it out of wood. Kederech she'asu malche bet hashmonai. Just like in the times of Hashmonaim, when they rededicated the Beit HaMikdash, he says the menorah was really a wooden menorah. Now, what's his logic? Because the way Rabbi Yosef learns this terasha, ve'asita menorah, zahavtaon, mikshar ta'aseh, he doesn't learn it in a klal, prat klal, that she says he learns it in a ribui mi'ut. Now, ribui mi'ut is a different type of derasha, so that she says, mai rabbe rabbe kol mile. Which means the ribui adds much more. It includes everything. Which means not only gold or silver metal. The ribui comes along and says, any item, meaning even wood. Oh, so what's the mi'ut coming to do? The mi'ut comes to tell me, you cannot make it out of hedis. Just to exclude one item. Pottery is not going to be good for the menorah, but everything else, kashir. So it comes to Gemara and says, "Amnu lo." So the rabbi started to be say, "What are you talking about? Bet hashmon I made it out of wood. That's not the explanation." Mishamre ayah shipudim shel balzel hayu. First of all, the menorah of the hashmonaim was actually made out of spits of metal of iron. Vechipum bebatz, and they covered it with tin, which means it looked like wood because of the tin plating over it, but it wasn't wood. And therefore, you have no proof to say that wood is a kosher menorah. He, Rabbi Yosef, came along and said, what do you mean? Wood? I'll tell you it's kasher. What, didn't the Hashmonai make it out of wood? He says, no. It was really metal that they covered with tin. It looked like the brown wood, but it wasn't. Now, Hashiru, when they became wealthier, Asaun shel kesef. So they upgraded the menorah to silver. Hazru, Hashiru, they got rich. Asaun shel zahav. But basically, what do you see in this Gemara? Only items that you could replicate exactly, that's going to be asur from the Torah, lo ta'asur iti. But since the moon you cannot replicate exactly, not a problem. Therefore, the Ben Gamliel was okay to make these images of the moon for the witnesses. That's what the Gemara is saying at this point. So comes the Gemara and says, incidentally, the Taptos fortress says, why do they call what the Hashmonaim dib shipudim, sticks or spits? So that she says, because the Tosfos says they didn't have the kaftonim and the givyim. They were just actually like spits. They didn't have the cups and the buttons that were on the menorah, the on those little ornament or whatever, the beauty that came out of the menorah. There was kaftorim, there was givyim, right? The flowers, etc. Pirachim. They didn't have it. It was called shipudim, just regular spits. Now, Gemara asks the same question again. V'shamashin she'yifshah la'asot kemotan mishareh. Oh, you tell me that if you cannot duplicate it exactly, it's permissible? Is that so? That Tanya, we have a braita. Lo ta'asun iti. Again, same question, same pasuk. Lo ta'asun kidmut shimshai. Hamshamashin lefanai bamarom. Oh, clearly. Do not replicate the different servants that serve me in the apai, in the marom, in the upper worlds. So what are we assuming that is? Sun, moon. Mm-hmm. Clearly you have a bright that it's saying you cannot replicate these items. Amar Abaye, lo asra Torah, ela demut, arba'a panim, ba'adeh hadadeh. We're talking about in the upper world, next to the Kisei HaKavod, where there's different images. There's an image of an Adam, there's an image of a Neshet, of an eagle, there's an image of a Keruv, of a, of an Aryeh, of a lion, and an image of a an ox, a shor. So these images over here, the Braita is telling you, you're not allowed to make them. And not only are you not allowed to make them, but you're not allowed to make them together. Which means all four images are Asur. Nothing to do with the sun and the moon. When we said you cannot make the upper images of the Marom, that means by the Kisei HaKavod, right? Pene Aryeh, Pene Neshet, Pene Keruv, and Pene Shor. You're Shor. Adam is, those are the four. Shor, Neshet, Aryeh, and Adam. Comes the Gemara and says, Bahadeh Adadi. Together.
Together.
Ela Me'ata. So the Gemara says, wait, according to this, Partsuf Adam Lehude Tishtri? You tell me that if I want to make an image of a human being, Partsuf, the face of a person, alone, it's going to be mutar. Smash, you tell me only all four together is Asur. But that alone is going to be mutar. Alama Tanya, then why do we have a brayta that says, Kol Partsufot Mutarim, Chutz Me Partsuf Adam? That all faces of different type of creatures is permissible, except it's asur to make the face of an Adam even alone. So what are you telling me? Amar Avuna b'ned Ravidi mepirked Abaye Shami Ali. So I learned from the derasha of Abaye, lo ta'asun iti. When it says in the pasuk lo ta'asun oti, read it lo ta'asun oti. Do not make me. Now, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, En lo guf, en lo demut aguf. But the Ben Hanel explains that the way Borei Olam would appear to the prophets was in the image of a human being. And therefore the Pasuk is saying, Lo ta'asun oti. So you're right. Really you're not allowed to make a image of an Adam even alone. So the all four, that's one deen. And then you have a deen of Partsuf Shel Adam. But we still didn't include sun and the moon. Okay, so that's the Gemara at this point. So comes the Gemara and says, so look at the second Tosfot for a sec. Actually, the third Tosfot. Lo ta'asun iti v'im tomar v'maika amar ela demut arba'at panim. You tell me that you cannot make the four images, right? Tipu klem v'shum tzurat Adam lechodeh. We don't got to get the four. Once already you tell me that Adam alone is asur, so it's finished. You can't forget. You don't got to get to the four. Meaning it's asur already even one alone. V'yesh lomar ki ika shar partzufin im Adam shari tfeh. Which means, right, it's not, there's a bigger sevarat to say, be more mutar. Maybe Adam alone is asur, but when you put it with the other four, it would be mutar, he would say. Iname, imatzat surat Adam, asur lashlim ledalet panim. Oh, that's a good answer. Let's say you found surat Adam already. That was drawn already. You're not allowed to add the other three. So even though you didn't draw the surat Adam, by adding the other three next to the surat Adam, that's going to be asur as well. Okay. comes the Gemara and says, "Ushar shem mashin mishare." Again, the other servants of God permissible to draw, to make? Ve'atanya lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun kidmut shemshai, hamshemeshim lefalai b'marom, that serve me in the heavens, kegon, ofanim, v'serafim, v'chayot ha'kodesh, u'malachei ha'sharet. All different type of angels, one is not allowed to draw or make images of. Amar Abaye, lo asrat Torah ela shemashin shemibadora adyon. They're only forbidding images that are in the upper worlds and in the seventh heaven. But what? In the lower heaven, meaning the sun and the moon, which are in the lower heavens, let's say the Rakia, which is, let's say, the second heaven, that would be mutar. So the Gemara says, why? Is it permissible to make images that are in the lower heavens? Now we get to another pasuk. Asher bashamayim. לרבות חמה ולבנה כוכבים ומזלות ממעל לרבות מלאכי השרת. Now what is this pasuk? This pasuk of the עשרת דיברות. It says לא תעשה לך פסל וכל תמונה, any image אשר בשמיים ממעל. And the Gemara says, you know what בשמיים ממעל comes to include? בשמיים, even the sun, the stars and the moon. And what does it say בארץ? What does it mean when it says בארץ? Well, actually, what does it mean when it says mima'al? Mima'al means even the angels. Right. So you see, back to the question of the Magam Liyeh, another pasuk. You're not allowed to make an image of the moon and the sun. Tanya, Gemara Zalana. Hahu le'ovdam. That pasuk, when it says, lo ta'aseh lecha temuna, it's all that, it means you cannot make them with the intention to serve them.
There you go.
But to make them for non-serving purposes, utar. You can't make the sun in order to worship it. But to make it stam without worshiping intention, mutar. Gebras, hold it. Ile avdam. If that person was talking about le avdam, afilu shilshul katan name. You can't even make even a little worm. When you got to get to the sun, the moon, you can't make anything if your intention is to serve it. What are you jumping to the sun and the moon? You can't even make a little image of a worm if your intention is to make it to serve it. The Gemara says, "Inachinameh." You're right. Netanya, we have a braita, asher ba'aris. Right? Doesn't the pasuk say, "Mashamayim ma'al ba'aris"? Now, what is ba'aris b'tachad referring to over there? Does it say b'tachad? Yes, asher ba'aris b'tachad. Lerabot harim v'givaot, different type of mountains and hills. Yamin v'neharot, seas and rivers, afikim, streams, v'geiyot, and valleys. Mitahat, that's waters. Mitahat is under the ground. Lerabot, shilshul katar. Even to include a little worm. So but you're right. The Torah does talk about any type of item. If you're making it with intention to serve, it's asur. So the Gemara said, v'asiya giridata mishari. Same question again. Is it still permissible if you're just doing it to make, not to serve? The sun and the moon. Yeah, yeah. You tell me it's permissible? We have another brata. Lo ta'asun iti. What's the derasha in the pasuk? Lo ta'asun kidmut shemashai. Do not make the image of those that serve me. There's the bottom line. Here's the question. We finally found the brata that says it clearly. You can't make images of the sun, the moon, and the mazalot. How did Rabbi Gamliel do it? Mm-hmm. So now we're going to start to get to the answers. Shani Rabbi Gamliel, the Ahirim Asulo. He didn't make it. He told the Goy to make it for him. He didn't make the images. Torah says you can't make it. He told the Goy. Tosfot comes and asks the question, what do you mean? Amira la'akum is not only Asul on Shabbat, Amira la'akum is asur on all the things of the Torah. Yeah. Which means whatever you can't do, you can't tell a goy to do. So what do you mean? He didn't tell you they're goy. What are you talking about? So Amira la'akum is asur. So Tosfot wants to say that bimkom mitzvah is permissible. What was he doing this moons for? For the Kiddush HaChodesh. He needed for the witnesses to testify. So therefore, Amira la'akum bimkom mitzvah, Tosfot wants to say that was the heter of Rabban Gamliel. Comes the Gemara and continues. The heart of Yehuda. We have a story of Rabbi Yehuda. The Ahirim Asulo. Goyi made him images. She says Goyim. It says here, Shaita lo tsura betabato. He had an image in his ring, in his signet ring. It's the image of a person.
With the goy?
Vahirim asa'uhu. Yeah, the goy made for him a signet ring with the image of a person. Okay? Va'amar le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. And so Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, young sharp scholar, one. Sharp one, Same'ene Didan. Take out its eye. Which means he told them, you got to destroy it. I mean, he didn't let him. The goy did it. What do you want? The goy made the image. It's not, I thought the goy, I think goy is mutar. So the Gemara says, Hatam Chotamo Boletaba. There, the Chotam itself protruded. Mm-hmm. The signet ring had a protruded image of the Adam. And therefore, even though it was done Ayide Goy, Umishum Hashda. There the issue was Hashad. Because when you have an image that protrudes, we suspect, or people are going to suspect, that on a protruded image, it's for Avodah Zarah purposes. So even though technically we're not deen to tell the goy, let's say, with me mutar. He had a purpose, let's say, obviously, to make this signet ring, right? He needed, you have to say, according to Tosafot, he had a purpose for a mitzvah. But the point is, what are you talking about? But here, Shmuel told them, destroy it. Take out its eye. What do you take out its eye? I thought you told me, I didn't go as mutar. No, this is different over here. He was bolet. When it's bolet, you have the issue of chashad. Kidetanya. Mm-hmm. Like we have a braita. Tabaat, you have a ring. Chotamo bolet. If the signet itself protrudes, the emblem, right, asula niha. You're not allowed to leave it. You got to destroy it because of chashad. Umutal lahtomba. But it's permissible to use it to stamp. Why? Because when you stamp with a ring that's bolet, the image on the
defaces.
On the paper, on the wherever you're stamping, is not bolet.
Right.
Right? It's indented.
It's imprinted.
However, shokeya mutar laniha. If you have a ring that's shokeya, that the image is indented, you're allowed to keep it. However, because when you stamp with a ring that's indented, the image protrudes. And therefore, you have a protrusion of an Adam. And therefore, Mishum Hashad. So now the Gemara says, right, it sticks up. Like, right, with the image that's indented, when you stick in the wax, let's say, it causes an imprint that the image is going to rise up. So Gemara says, Umi Hashinan Lehashda. Gemara says, wait, are you telling me that there's a Hashad issue over here?
Uh-huh.
You let it go and make it for you. You tell me if it's protruding, you tell me it's a problem because the people are going to think you're doing it for Avodah Zarah. Is that a problem? There was a certain Bet Knesset. Deshaf v'yativ. That's what they called. There was a Bet Knesset in Babel. They called the synagogue of Shaf v'yativ. Why? Ben Arda'ah. Look at Rashi. Deshaf v'yativ ben Arda'ah. Makomu, it's a place. V'yesh potrin shaharev. That synagogue was destroyed. V'hazar v'nibneh. And then they rebuilt it. So the Shaf, it was destroyed. V'yativ, and then resettled. V'tamid hayta shekhinah mitzuya sham. The shekhinah was in that synagogue. V'yechonya v'galuto banauhu. Yechonya and the exiles, when they got to Babel, they built it. Shenasu emahim me'abnei Yerushalayim. While they built it with the stones of Jerusalem. V'aleim ne'emar kiratzu avadecha et avaneha. To show you how much they love the stones of Yerushalayim, they brought stones with them from Yerushalayim to Babel, and they built the foundation of the bit of that Shafi Yativ synagogue. Now, what happened in that synagogue? Da'avibe andarta. Which means there was a tselem demut ha-melech. There was an image, a statue of the king. They made a statue of the king, or an image of the king. Ve'avu Aili, Ravu Shmuel, Ve'avu de Shmuel ve'Levi, umatzlu hatam. They went, these rabbis, and they prayed there. Ve'lo chayshe le'hashda. And there's no chashash.
No problem.
Even though it's protruding, even though it's there, they didn't worry about chashash. Obviously, they didn't make it. You say, let's say the Goyim made it. Okay, they put it over there. So, kavod for the king, let's say. So they prayed there. How could you pray that? Do we have a chashad? Gemara says, Rabim Shani. If it's in the Rabim, we're not Hoshesh. Which is when it's made for the Messenger. Only have Hashad on the individual. But we're not Hoshesh, the whole Rabim is going to do Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the Rabim is different. Rabim Shani. In Hashad. Bimkom Rabim. Right? In a public place, there's no hashad that guy does avodah. What does a guy do avodah zara? This is in private. So in the Bimkom Rabim, we're not worried. So the Gemara says, wait. Vehara Ban Gamliel Yahidu.
Right, with the moon.
Hold it. Where was the Ban Gamliel with this moon item? He had these moon items.
In his attic.
He's in his attic. That's why the Mishnah went out of its way. Rabbi Aliyah told. He's a Yahid. So now you tell me you got the Hashad item working over here. So the Gemara says, so we're assuming that these items that he had were actually protruding items. Right? They were images like of the moon, models of the moon and stuff like that. So now he had them. What about the Hashash? He's alone. Says Kevan de Nasihu Shchi'i Rabim Gabe. First answer. There are always people by him. He's the president. So he's never alone. Shchi'i Gabim. So he's like Gabim.
New people are going to see.
Correct. He's never alone. The Ban Gamliel. There's always population coming in and out. So therefore, it's okay. Iba'etema de Pirakim Hava. Second answer. They weren't complete images of the moon. Right. They were made in
sections.
Right. So therefore, when the witnesses would come, he would just take them.
Parts.
They look like this, and he would take them apart. So therefore, really, he was worried about the Hashash situation. But he didn't make full images of the moon. He made them in Pirakim. Litlamed Avad. He made them regular images. And what was the purpose to do it? To learn.
To learn, to teach.
Uchtiv lo tilmad la'asot. Aval ata lamed lehavin ulorot. New item. Which means, you cannot make these items in order to chas v'shalom serve them. Even to make them alone, it's a problem. Let's say we said hasha and all that. However, it is permissible if the kavana of the person making it, in order to learn from it, meaning learn the halachot, like in this case over here, then you have no problem. It's permissible legamre, and that's the opinion of, which means, what do you mean lotel madlasot? You're allowed to learn about the sun. He says in the Mefashim over here, kilomal davin maasehem kam mehem mekul kalim. James, you're able to make these images to show, look how foolish the Guima. They worship the sun, and they do this, and they do that, which is to disprove it, and to make fun of it, and to show that it's not emet, you're allowed to do it. So in this case also, it's a form of litlamid. Because what was his really purpose, Rabban Gamliel? To use it to make, Rosh Chodesh and stuff like that. So that would be permissible. Again, halakot. Halakot, therefore it would be mutas. So that's basically the answers, what Rabban Gamliel was doing.